chapter 24. Chanting the song sung by Lord Shiva, text 59.
Yeah.
Yasya Hus Chitta Hat Bahi External Arta Entrance Vibrama Bewildered Tama Darkness Duhaya In the Hole Cha Shuddha purified, Avisha entered, yet that Bhakti Yoga, devotional servant, Anugrahita, being favored by Anjasa. Chashte sees Nano, however, Tatra, Dhyaya, Te, Your, Gatir, Activities. Translation. The devotee whose heart has been completely cleansed by the process of devotional service and who is favored by Bhakti Devi does not become bewildered by the external energy, which is just like a dark well. Being completely cleansed of all material contamination in this way, a devotee is able to understand very happily your name, fame, form, activities, etc. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam 325.25, Satanta Sangyan Mahavirya Sandhado, Vantirit Karna Rasaya Bhakta, Tash Joshana Ashvara Bhagavatamani, Shadaratir Bhaktir Anukramishyati. Simply by the association of pure devotees, one can understand the transcendental name, fame, quality, and activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has repeatedly said, Sadhu Sangha, Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Shastre Koye, Lava Matra Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Siddhi Hai. Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhyalila 22:54. Simply by associating with a pure devotee, one becomes wonderfully advanced in Krishna consciousness. Sadhu Sangha, or association with a devotee, means always engaging in Krishna consciousness by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra and by acting for Krishna. Specifically, chanting the Hare Krishna mantra purifies one, and this chanting is therefore recommended by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitra Dharma Marjana, Chaitanya Charitamrita Julia 20:12. By chanting the names of Krishna, the murderer of the heart is cleansed, and the devotee loses interest in everything external. When one is influenced by the external energy of the Lord, his heart is impure. When one's heart is not pure, he cannot see how things are related to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Idami Vishvam Bhagavan Ventura, Srimad Bhagavatam 1:5:20. He whose heart is purified can see that the whole cosmic manifestation is that the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But he whose heart is contaminated sees things differently. Therefore, by satsanga, or association with devotees, one becomes completely pure in heart. One who is pure in heart is never attracted by the external energy which urges the individual soul to try to dominate material nature. The pure heart of the devotee is never disturbed when he executes devotional service in the form of hearing, chanting, remembering, etc. In all, there are 9 processes one can follow in the execution of devotional service. In any case, a pure-hearted devotee is never disturbed. The bhakti yoga process must be carried out by avoiding the 10 offenses one can commit while chanting the Maha Mantra, and the 64 offenses one can commit while worshipping the deity. When a devotee strictly follows the rules and regulations, Bhakti Devi becomes very much satisfied with him, and at that time he is never disturbed by anything external. A devotee is also called a Muni. The word Muni means thoughtful. A devotee is as thoughtful as a non-devotee is speculative. The non-devotee's speculation is impure, but a devotee's thoughts are pure. Lord Kapila and Shukadev Goswami are also called Muni, and Vyasadeva is addressed as Mahamuni. A devotee is addressed as Muni or thoughtful when he purely understands the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The conclusion is that when one's heart is purified by the association of devotees and by the avoidance of the offenses committed when chanting and worshipping the Lord, the transcendental name, form, and activities of the Lord are revealed by the Lord. Yad bhakti yoga nugrihita manjasa munir vichashte nanutachate katiyam. The devotee whose heart has been completely cleansed by the process of devotional service and who is fingered by bhakti devi does not become bewildered by the external energy, which is just like a dark well. Being completely cleansed of all material contamination in this way, a devotee is able to understand very happily your name, fame, form, activities, etc. Nama Om Vishnu Padme Krishna Krishna Mutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Dinamani Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gaurvani Charani Nir Vishesha Shukyavari Pastajari Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Srinasati Kora Bhakta Grenda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Vajkantra is chanting the Siddha Vyayamacha Padidana Bhava Vidya Vaishnava Vidya Vandamo Hare Krishna. So, last few several days, we've been reading different verses from here and there. In Srimad Bhagavatam, verses which are emphasizing association, and this verse is also doing that, or particularly really the purport is also focusing on association. And towards the end of the purport we just read, Prabhupada made an interesting point that, let's see, what is it? Yes. When one's heart is not pure, he cannot see how things are related to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He whose heart is purified can see that the whole cosmic manifestation is but the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It reminds us of, in the Prahlad Rasikadeva Leela, Incidentally, can you hear okay? It's not sort of booming too much. So in that Vishnudev Leela, very famous Leela, Hiranyakashipu is harassing his son, Prahlad, and is saying, well, he asked him, where do you get your power from? Hiranyakashipu was harassing him on a number of occasions, trying to have him killed in different ways. But Prahlad was not becoming killed. Prahlad was carrying on as if everything was fine. The final thing we hear is that Hiranyakashipu personally conked a sabji for him, a sabji, and put in enough poison to kill 100 elephants, and gave it to Prahlad, who offered it to the Lord, and very happily started eating. After his first mouthful, he should have just dropped dead on the spot, or, yeah, something extremely dramatic like that, because there's just so much poison. He's just a little boy. But nothing happened, except Prahlad was continuing to eat the sabji. And Hiranyakashipu was watching and waiting and expecting Prahlad just to sort of drop. Prahlad was not dropping. And Hiranyakashipu was asking him, how are you feeling? Are you all right? And Prahlad was saying, yes, nice sabji. And he finished it all and asked for more. And Hiranyakashipu was just, he can't believe it. It's not possible. And don't any of you try anything like that. We're not on the level of Prahlad. So then Hiranyakashipu famously asked him, where do you get your power from? Shishi Lati Shakarata Madhava Shishi Nitagora Sunda Shishi Janaki Janaki Valaki Jayama Lakshmi. Yeah, where do you get your power from? And Prahlad, in a very innocent and straightforward way, said, from the same place as you, from Vishnu. Just a childlike, childish way. Children, you know, they're not prone to diplomacy. They just say whatever they want to say in whatever way they feel like saying it. So Prahlad said, yes, from the same place as you, from Vishnu. And Hiranyakashipu said, so where is this Vishnu? Is he in this pillar? And Srila Prabhupada describes, actually, Prahlad Maharaj looked at the pillar and saw the Lord. We look at the pillar, and what do we see? I see the electrical sockets and various things. But he saw the Lord. And so Hiranyakashipu would ask him, so where is this Vishnu? Is he in the pillar? And Prahlad saw it and just said, yeah, yes, he's in the pillar. And it's not a big thing like, wow, I saw God in the pillar. Wow, what is this? He just looked at it, saw the Lord, yeah. There he is, he's in the pillar. Because this is how he was seeing, in just a natural way. He was seeing the Lord in the pillar, in the space, in just the walls. He's just seeing the Lord everywhere. Because the Lord is everywhere to be seen. The problem is not whether the Lord is there or not. You know, when Prahlad looked, then the Lord was there. But when we look, the Lord is gone elsewhere. The Lord is there to be seen, but the problem is us, our capacity to see. This is the only problem, actually. So for Prahlad, there was no such problem. He just saw the Lord everywhere. And Srila Prabhupada explains that this was not the only time Hiranyakashipu had asked Prahlad, "Where is this Vishnu?" And Prahlad had looked around and saw the Lord everywhere, and including this time in the pillar, he saw the Lord. And Prahlad, thinking that the way he was seeing things was just the normal way things are. In other words, to see the Lord everywhere is just normal. Prahlad was wondering, why does he keep asking me, where is the Lord? What's wrong with my father? Maybe I should take him to the optician to get glasses. He was sincerely, genuinely feeling like this. Because he would just look there wherever he looked. He'd just see the Lord. And that was the way it was. So as Prabhupada says here, when a person's heart is not pure, then the person cannot see that the Lord is everywhere. But when a devotee, when a person is pure, then they will see the Lord everywhere. And there's an interesting little conversation of Srila Prabhupada's, or maybe it's a class actually, either one, in which Srila Prabhupada says, God is everywhere, like butter in milk. But if I give you some milk, if I give you a liter of milk and say, here, take the butter, then just like that, we can't do it. You can do it. You can extract the butter. But there's a process for extracting the butter. And if you follow the process, you get the butter. But otherwise, you look at the milk and you think, butter, where's the butter? And maybe you start looking inside the milk, shaking it up. Spreading it out. Where's the butter? It's there. And similarly, Krishna is there to be seen. It's not some sort of fantastic, esoteric thing. It's just a reality. But there's a process which is required. Otherwise you'll be baffled. And you'll think, butter in milk? This is some fiction. Some nonsense. It's not true. But it is true. You just have to know the process. And if you know the process, it's so simple. And if you don't know the process, no chance. There's an interesting little story, which I can tell you, which sort of illustrates the same point in a slightly different way. But it's quite interesting. Have you devotees ever heard of a method of communication called Morse code? Have you heard of Morse code? Morse code, it's fairly simple. It just means each letter in the alphabet is represented by a number of strokes. Like, you know, I learned a little Morse code when I was a child. The letter S for Sankirtan is, what is it? 3 fast strokes. The Morse code for O is 3 long strokes. That's O. So when I was young, I used to do a lot of boating, and sometimes the boat sinks. So they have radio communication using Morse code. And if ever a boat is sinking, you must send the signal SOS, save our souls. Yeah. So it's some Morse code. You know, it's a kind of antiquated system of communication now, but back 50 or 100 years, it was very common. It was very common. That was how they sent telegrams in the past, through Morse code. So anyway, the story. The story is set in the Great American Depression. Did you ever hear about that? 1929, it started, and it went on for several years. Actually, it went on until the Second World War started, more or less. And it's a long story, we're going to go into the economics of it, but the country went bankrupt. America went bankrupt. And as a result, all the Americans went bankrupt, at least so many. And there was like 20% of the population was living in the streets. This is America, you know. And it's not even 100 years ago. So many people were just living in the streets and just getting some free food, like Food for Lifestyle program. And all the businesses have gone bankrupt, practically. And if ever there was a business which was still going on, and they needed someone, like another worker, 500 people would come for one job. 500, because it was so hard to get work, because all the companies had gone bankrupt. So now, one day, one company named Western Union, have you heard of Western Union? They're in India. They were a communications company. They needed a Morse code operator, someone to operate the machine to send messages and receive them. But there are not many Morse code operators. We don't have any in them at all. It's not so common. So they had to advertise. We need a Morse code operator. So 500 people came. Virtually none of them knew Morse code, but they were so desperate, they would just come. I remember in South Africa, when we were building our main temple there, quite some time ago, sometimes we'd need casual labor for a day. Someone could just bend some nails for a day, or clean something for a day. So you go down to the labor exchange, and there's all these people waiting around to see if they can get a job. So our devotees went there once, and there are about 50 people there. So the devotees stood up on the back of the truck and announced, Are there any carpenters here? There are 50 men. 50 hands went up. The wow, there's a lot of carpenters today. Then he said, are there any plumbers here? 50 hands went up. Are there any electricians here? 50 hands went up. And he thought, no, it can't be. So then he announced, are there any brain surgeons here? Brain surgeons. 50 hands went up. Because they were desperate. They just somehow, they got to survive. So they'll say anything. So there's like 500 people queued up in a line to be interviewed for one job for a Morse code operator at Western Union. And so, the queue's there, and one by one, they get called into the manager's office for a minute or two, and then they come out, and the next one goes in. And in this building, there was some construction going on. So there was some hammering. It was a bit noisy. Some hammering was going on. Suddenly, one young man who was at the end of the line somewhere, number 480, he came running up to the front, straight into the manager's office. And all the men in the line thought, what is he doing jumping the queue? We're going to get him. And then after just a minute, the manager came out with that young man and told all the others, you can all go. I'm giving him the job. Because he knows Morse code. And those men, they were really angry. And the manager said, the thing is this, you hear the hammering. They are hammering in Morse code. And what they're saying is, if you understand this, come into the office right away and I'll give you the job immediately. You follow? So the point here is, it was everywhere. They were just in all the hammerings going on. It wasn't some secret. It wasn't some secret. They were right in the middle of it. But because they weren't tuned in, they missed it completely, totally. They missed it. So but if you're tuned in, then you'll get it very easily, just like that. So similarly, Krishna, the Lord, is everywhere, just like butter is in milk. But if you don't know the process, if you're not tuned in, then you'll miss it totally, and it'll just be meaningless, totally useless. Just like you're in another world. So it's an interesting point. Anyway, in the purport particularly, Srila Prabhupada continues this theme, which has been explored for the last so many days, about association. Simply by associating with a pure devotee, one becomes wonderfully advanced in Krishna consciousness. So a lot has been said about this in the last week or 10 days, several days, whatever it's been. A lot has been said. Yesterday, Shiva Maharaj made the interesting point that association with a devotee, what you get from it, you will get something. What you get, How much you will get depends on the level of the devotee from whom you are getting it. If it's a very elevated pure devotee, you may get Krishna prema practically just like that, or at least a very powerful advancement to a high level. An example of that from the Bhagavata is Narada Muni. He got the association of some devotees who they describe by the Bhagavata as being Bhakti Vedantas. Means very advanced devotees. They were not just your sort of normal devotees from the Kanpur Iskcon temple. They were some special, special devotees. Very, very elevated. And Narada Muni, even though he's a little child, 5 years old, he received their association. He heard from them a lot in a very, you could say, open-minded, open-hearted way, so that all just went in and into his heart and had a very powerful effect on his heart. Plus he got the remnants of their prasada. So like this, he was transformed into a very elevated devotee quickly, to the point that shortly after they left, his mother was bitten by a snake and died. And he's a 5-year-old child. Can you imagine? You know, you probably know what 5-year-old children are like. In many countries, they consider that a child is not capable of learning, of being educated until they're 7. In other countries also they may start at 5 with like serious education, but in many countries they wait till they're 7 because they think it's just going to be too much for the child's mind. So that Narada Muni, 5 years old, his mother dies right in front of him, bitten by a snake. It's a really dramatic scene. And Narada Muni does not panic or cry for his mother or, you know, all this type of thing. Narada Muni immediately thinks, it is the arrangement of the Lord for my detachment from material life and to facilitate my development and further development of Krishna consciousness. And he just left and went on pilgrimage. He didn't just go running to some neighbor's place and panic. He didn't try to find his uncle or aunt and panic. He went on pilgrimage. So it's a very nice example of someone who is very profoundly, deeply affected by association of very advanced devotees. Others, as Maharaj was saying yesterday, who are not as advanced, their association will have some impact, but it will not be to that degree, but at least that their association will arouse some shraddha, some faith, and give an impetus for taking up the practice of Krishna consciousness. So, yeah, association with devotees again is being emphasized, and we could just mention that Prabhupada here quotes Sarvasangha Sarvasangha, this very famous verse, which is interesting. Srila Prabhupada says that Lord Chaitanya repeatedly said that. It only appears once in Chaitanya Charitamrita, as I recall. But Prabhupada says Lord Chaitanya repeatedly said that. It's an interesting point. But one other thing that Lord Chaitanya says in Chaitanya Charitamrita related is also a very famous verse, Sadhu Sangha, Nama Kirtan, Bhagavad Shrava, Mathura Vas, Sri Mauritya, Shraddha Sekhan. I imagine you're familiar with that verse. Out of the 64 devotional activities, these five, the last five at least, as they appear in the list, they are of special importance. They have special potency. And they very quickly arouse someone's Krishna consciousness. Even Lord Chaitanya says that even a little performance of just one of those five, even if it is done without real faith, but as long as it's done without offense, can, not that it just does or will or always does, but it can bring a person immediately to the level of bhava. Anyway, that's sort of another subject. But the thing here, what point I'm going to get at, is that there are these five activities. And the first is Sadhu Sangha, the same point we've been focusing on. Sadhu Sangha, and then Nama Kirtan, etc. And if we think about it, if we think about it a bit, we'll see that Sadhu Sangha, amongst those five, Sadhu Sangha has a special position. Like, just as an example, the second one is Nama Kirtan. Can you imagine doing a kirtan without other devotees? A one-man kirtan. You can do it, and some people do, but how could it be the same? How can it be the same as a kirtan with a whole lot of devotees, in Sadhu Sangha, in other words, with everyone really focused and into it? When you're having kirtan on your own, of course it's good, it's nice, it's not bad at all, but it's just not the same. Similarly, Bhagavad Shravan, Prabhupada wanted us to read his books, and we must. But when you study the books in the company of other devotees, and there's discussion and sharing and going deeper into the subject matters, it's a whole different experience from just sitting there and reading the book yourself. I can just mention one experience I had. It was, what was it? I think it was 1991. I attended the VIHE, Vrindavan Institute for Higher Education, for the first time. Karthik semester. And I was going to study a few things. One was Nectar of Devotion. So I had already read Nectar of Devotion three, maybe four times, something like that. But then I thought, okay, we're going to do this seminar for 1 month on Nectar of Devotion. Let me read it again. So I read it again. And then I went. And we did this seminar. The teacher was Giriraj Swami, very knowledgeable, close associate of Srila Prabhupada. And there was maybe 25 other devotees who were all practicing devotees, many of them for many years. And we studied the first 19 chapters, the eastern side of Nectar of Devotion, in depth, and with so much discussion and sharing and so on. And by the time we finished, after 1 month, I felt like I had never read Nectar of Devotion before. It was such a revelation. So many things I'd never thought of. Valuable, important things. So Bhagavad Shravan also, in the association of devotees, everything just becomes enhanced greatly, really greatly. Visiting the holy places, Mathura Vas, visiting, staying in. Also, you know, go to Vrindavan, and if you don't know, if you don't know Vrindavan at all, if it's your first time, and you're on your own, and you're wandering around on your own, you may be in some special pastime place, you won't know it. Or you get some local bridge busy guide or someone like that who's got all sorts of funny ideas. And you end up with some strange ideas of what is Vrindavan and what happened there, etc. But when you go with devotees, experienced devotees, then, oh, it can be a very wonderful experience, actually. We were doing Govinda Parikrama once with one, there was a group of us, and there was one boy who just arrived, he'd never been in Vrindavan, he just arrived. And he was walking with us. We stopped at one place, right down the end, Kuchari. And we're sitting there by the hill chanting. And we noticed this boy has disappeared. What happened? Then we looked up on the hill. Aha! There he is. He's up on the hill. Quite well up. So we called him, "Dad, what are you doing?" And we asked him, why were you up there? And he said, "Well, I needed to use the toilet. And there's many people around here." And I thought, oh, it's a quiet place. Anyway, you get the idea. Of course, he was with the devotees, but still he wasn't educated by the devotees yet. And worshipping the deity also, when the deities are worshipped very nicely by the devotees, by the experienced pujaris, and we come and see the deities, then we are seeing the deities plus the devotion of the pujaris, which enhances the appearance of the deities. So it's also a type of sadhu sangha. So let's see. Anyway, it's a deep subject, and there's really a lot we could say. But let me just mention one other little point, is that Srila Prabhupada in the purport, he talks about association with the devotees. Then Prabhupada makes an interesting point. Sadhu sangha, or association with a devotee, means always engaging in Krishna consciousness by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra and by acting for Krishna. This is a very interesting point. That it's not, even though, you know, we've been hearing these days, association, association, sadhu sangha, satsangha, like this, for some days, how important, and we must get it, and so on. I was doing a little research yesterday, and I found there's a verse. Well, I was reading through Jiva Goswami's Krama Sandarbha, his commentary on Bhagavatam 11.12.1. How to say in Hindi? Gyara Bara Ek. Yeah. And it's to do with association. But Jiva Goswami makes a very important point. Listen to this. Because association is so pleasing to the Lord, because association is so pleasing to the Lord, this does not mean that one does not have to perform the regular Vaishnava activities. So, similarly, so the devotees hearing that one should worship the devotee profusely still should not give up worshipping the Lord and doing the other regular practices which one does, he says, after taking diksha. So it's interesting, you know, emphasis, association, association, and it is so important, but it's not that we should just sort of hang out together, to use Western slang, just be together. We have to carry on with our program of Krishna consciousness, chanting our rounds, doing our regular service, worshipping the deity, cleaning the temple, all these things, preaching, plus associate with the devotees. Even that has a special place, but we must do all those other things and enthusiastically and really go deeply into all these other devotional activities. So I think we've run out of time now. We'll continue. Maybe we can continue with this theme tomorrow.
Yes, Master.
We'll continue with this theme a bit further tomorrow. Any comment or question? Prashna. Yes.
About one thing Sula Maharaj was telling, that this external process of chanting, external process of hearing, they also become spiritual to the extent we have bhakti sakti.
The extent that?
We have bhakti sakti.
Okay.
And that bhakti sakti comes by the mercy of a devotee,
right,
as per his level of advancement.
That's true. So, yes, I remember.
So in that sense, even if we are performing chanting, hearing, but if we are not giving mercy of pure devotee of the Lord, so then those activities will not be very, very spiritual for us.
Well, they'll be less, at least you can say that. They will be less effective. And even, you know, it can come to the point, you know, there's famous verse, so famous that I've forgotten it. What is it? What's the verse about milk touched by the lips of a serpent? You know that, the Sanskrit? A Vaishnava Mukhodhyana Putam Hari Katamrita. A Vaishnava Shravana Naiva Kartavyam Sadrachishtam Yatapaya. Right. So it can come to that point that if you hear it from some, you know, real nonsense, that can have a negative effect. And you might ask, you know, it's the holy name of the Lord. How can that have a negative effect? And I would say the point there is that it's not exactly that something has happened to the name, but that that person's consciousness has somehow attached itself to the name. So you're getting the name, not chanted nicely, but you're also getting plus materialistic energy which has attached itself to the name. Yeah. So you're getting two things. When you get Krishna consciousness, or when you get the holy name, you get the holy name, plus you get the consciousness of the person who's giving it to you. And, you know, that consciousness of that person, that's what makes the difference. Otherwise, you just take the holy name, then it's completely pure. So the thing is this, in our cases, we have all received the holy names, either from Prabhupada directly, or from those who have received from Prabhupada, plus we've heard Prabhupada so many times. So therefore our position is very good. You could say practically full opportunity is there. Like Prabhupada says, Arjuna heard Bhagavad Gita from Krishna. He got the great benefit. We can get the same benefit, not less, same, by hearing from the pure devotees. Yeah, so that. So therefore, you know, it's a fact we should hear from Prabhupada regularly. And, you know, if you're initiated by a current spiritual master, then obviously you have to hear from them too. But we should, even so, we should hear from Prabhupada. Not to minimize the current senior devotees, but still Prabhupada is special. Just like Lord Chaitanya, you remember the pastime? What's it called? Raghava Chali? Is it? Raghavira. Jali, yeah. The bags of prasadam of Raghava Pandit. The prasadam had been sitting there, some of it for a year. And you know what happens to prasadam? And Lord Chaitanya, there's a bit of a long story, but he got the inspiration of coming to eat it. He just ate it all. If we, you know, I know some devotees, they went to Vrindavan, went to Radhakund. They each got like a liter or a liter and a half Radhakund water. And they came back to South Africa. And it was like, hurry on. Radhakund water. Each of them drank a liter or a liter and a half of Radhakund water just like that. Within hours, they were in hospital with food poisoning or some drastic digestive problem. Well, but it's Radhakund. So Lord Chaitanya, he was able to eat. Some of it had been sitting there for a year, and others for less, but still for too long by normal standards. But he had a problem. So, but if we try and do something like that, you know, some of the bacteria which has become attached to the prasadam, some of that bacteria will attack us, and we could have a very serious problem. So you've got, you could say, the thing, the pure Krishna conscious thing. Then depending on who you got it from and how, you've got sort of their influence, their Shakti is also there. And it depends. Like Mahaprasada. When Prabhupada would come to Bhaktivedanta Manor, we would always sit outside his room and wait for the Mahamaha to come out. And the best was the orange. You know, he would just suck the juice out and leave the skin. And we would just eat the skin. And it's not so tasty, really. But we would relish it because it was from Prabhupada. So it's already Mahaprasada. But then you add the consciousness, the association of the great, great devotee, it becomes even better than Mahaprasada. It becomes Maha-Maha. But then, you know, I don't want to keep it too long, but one devotee asked Prabhupada, after the Sunday feast, you know, the guests, some of the guests don't finish their prasada, they throw it in the bin. Can we go through the bin and take out the prasada because it's prasada? And Prabhupada said, no, don't do that. Because there, the guests, sort of their little potency or shakti has now become a little attached to the prasada, and it may not be good for you. Hare Krishna. Okay, we'll continue the same thing, maybe a different place, tomorrow. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Yeah.